Goedenacht. Dit is Gospel Radio. Ze vangen met een uitzending vannacht tot 1 uur. En zoals gebruikelijk zal de uitzending worden geopend door zuster Emma. Na zuster Emma het gesproken wordt door pastor Samuel Lee. En om 1 uur nemen wij afscheid van u. Stefania Radio wens je een fijne, gezegende luistertijd toe. Voor uw reactie kunt u gewoon bellen naar Studio 7. Telefoonnummer is 020-33-76-81-3 of 020-33-42-32-8. Radio Parishion, alsnog bedankt voor het draaien van daarnet. En wij gaan meteen doorschakelen naar Amsterdam-Oost. Goedenacht, zuster Emma. Goedenacht, zuster Emma.
Goedenacht, broeder Cor.
Van harte welkom in de uitzending. Heel veel zegen bij het lezen. Gaat u gaan.
Dank u wel, broeder Cor. Ja, lieve luisteraars. Ik groet u allen in de wonderbare naam van onze Heer en Heiland. Onze Heer Jezus Christus. Die is gegeven alle macht in de hemel en op de aarde. Luisteraars, het is tijd voor het Bijbelleesplan. En u weet, het Bijbelleesplan komt van Gospel Radio Zephania, waar onze Heiland, Heer Jezus Christus, centraal staat. We gaan de Heer danken, loven en prijzen. We gaan hem danken voor wat hij voor ons doet. We gaan hem prijzen voor alles wat hem toekomt. En we gaan hem verhogen, want zijn naam is om te verhogen. We prijzen u, o mijn Heiland, en we danken u voor alles wat u doet voor ons, Vader. We danken u voor uw grote liefde en uw barmhartigheid. We danken u dat u de grote, machtige Heiland bent. U bent de wonderbare raadsman, de sterke God, de vredevorst bent u. U bent de leeuw van Juda. U bent de ware wijnstok en u bent de goede herder. Vader, we prijzen zo uw machtige Jezus naam. Vader, we danken u voor uw heilige geest, mijn God. En we zijn u erg dankbaar, o mijn Heiland, dat u verlost, u bevrijdt en u redt, Vader. En u redt uit alle nood. We danken u, Vader, dat wij tot u mogen komen met al onze problemen, met al onze noden, Vader. Want u lost alle problemen op. En er is geen probleem zo groot als u. U bent groter dan iedere nood en iedere probleem. Vader, we danken u voor het woord wat we gaan lezen, Vader. We danken u voor de kinderen, wilt u ze zegenen, en uw ouders, Vader. En hun familieleden. Vader, we brengen alle gospelradio voor uw troon van genade, Vader. Wilt u hen zegenen? Vader, we komen ook met alle bestonden voor u, Vader. Met iedere gezin, mijn Heiland. Vader, We danken u voor zuster Marlene en broeder Cor, vader. We danken u, vader, en ook voor hun gezin, vader, en voor alle gezinnen, vader. Vader, we danken u voor alle gemeentes, alle kerken, vader, alle voorgangers, waar dan ook, vader. U gaat ze zegenen, mijn heiland. We danken u voor uw grote liefde, vader, en uw barmhartigheid. Want u bent de goede herder, u bent onze heel meester die redt en bevrijdt. Vader, we danken u voor alle vluchtelingen, mijn heiland. Vader, wilt u ook de kinderen zegenen die ook vluchten tezamen met hun ouders, vader. Neem ze in uw heiland door beide handen, vader. Vader, we danken u. We loven en we prijzen u. We geven u de eer, de lof en de dank, vader. Vader, en we danken u en bidden u, vader, dat u voorgaat in uw woord, vader. En dat u ons kennis geeft en wijsheid, vader. Vader, want u zegt kennis zal vermeerderen, vader. We prijzen zo uw machtige Jezusnaam. Ja, lieve luisteraars, dan gaan we lezen uit onze Bijbelleesplan. We gaan lezen uit Romeinen. Hoofdstuk 2, en het gaat over het oordeel Gods over de Joden. Het oordeel Gods over de Joden, Romeinen, hoofdstuk 2. Vader, we prijzen uw naam. En Jezus zei, slaat uw ogen op en beschouw de velden dat zij wit zijn om te oogsten, Johannes 4, vers 35. En opnieuw zei hij, de oogst is wel groot, maar arbeiders zijn er weinig. Bid daarom de Heer van den oogst dat hij arbeiders uitzende in zijn oogst. Matthäus 9, vers 37 en 38. En dan gaan we naar onze Bijbelleesplan. En onze Bijbelleesplan, nog een keer, komt uit Romeinen, hoofdstuk 2. Het oordeel Gods over de Joden. Daarom zijt gij, o mens, wie gij ook zijt, niet te verontschuldigen, wanneer gij oordeelt. Want waarin gij een ander oordeelt, veroordeelt gij uzelf. Want gij die oordeelt, bedrijft dezelfde dingen. Wij weten echter dat het oordeel Gods onpartijdig gaat over hen die zulke dingen bedrijven. Reken gij wellicht hierop, o mens, die oordeelt over hen die zulke dingen bedrijven en ze zelf doet, dat gij het oordeel Gods ontgaan zult. Of veracht gij de rijkdom van zijn goedertierenheid, verdraagzaamheid en langmoedigheid. En besef gij niet dat de goedertierenheid Gods u tot boetvaardigheid leidt, maar in uw weerbarstigheid en onboetvaardigheid van hart hoop gij uw toren op tegen de dag des torens en der openbaring van het rechtvaardig oordeel Gods, die een ieder vergelden zal naar zijn werken, hun die in het goed doen volharden, heerlijkheid, eer en onvergankelijkheid zoeken, het eeuwige leven. Maar hun die de zichzelf zoeken, der waarheid ongehoorzaam en der ongerechtigheid gehoorzaam zijn, wacht toren en gramschap, verdrukking en benauwdheid, zal komen over ieder levend mens die het kwade bewerkt, eerst de Jood en ook de Griek. Maar heerlijkheid, eer en vrede over ieder die het goede werkt, eerst de Jood en ook de Griek. Want er is geen aanzien des persoons bij God. Vers 12. De wet baat de Joden niet. Want allen die zonder wet gezondigd hebben, zullen ook zonder wet verloren gaan. En allen die onder de wet gezondigd hebben, zullen door de wet geoordeeld worden. Want niet de hoorders der wet zijn rechtvaardig bij God, maar de daders der wet zullen gerechtvaardigd worden. Wanneer toch heidenen die de wet niet hebben, van nature doen wat de wet gebiedt, dan zijn deze ofschoon zonder wet zichzelf tot wet. Immers, zij tonen dat het werk der wet in hun hart geschreven is, terwijl hun geweten medegeteld en hun gedachten elkander onderling aanklagen of ook verontschuldigen. Ten dagen dat God in de mensen verborgene oordeelt volgens mijn evangelie door Christus Jezus. Indien gij u dan Jood laat noemen, steun op de wet. U beroemt op God, zijn wil kent, weet u te onderscheiden. Waarop het aankomt, daar gij onderricht in de wet geniet. En u overtuigd houdt dat gij een leidsman van blinden zijt, een licht voor hen die in duisternis zijn, een opvoeder van onverstandigen en een leermeester van onmondigen, daar gij in de wet de belichaming der kennis en der waarheid bezit. Hoe nu, gij die een ander onderwijst, onderwijst gij uzelf niet? Gij die predikt dat men niet stelen mag, steelt gij die overspel verbiedt? Doet gij overspel? Die gruwt van de afgoden, pleeg gij tempelroof? Die u op de wet beroemt, onteert gij God door uw overtreden van de wet? Want de naam Gods wordt om u gelasterd onder de heidenen, gelijk geschreven staat. Vers 25. De besnijdenis baat de Joden niet. Want besneden te zijn heeft wel betekenis. Indien gij de wet volbrengt, maar indien gij een overtreder van de wet zijt, is uw besnijdenis tot onbesnedenheid geworden. Zal dan, indien de onbesnedene de eisen der wet in acht neemt, zijn onbesnedenheid niet voor besnedenis gelden. Dan zal de wet van nature onbesnedene, doordat hij de wet volbrengt. Uw oordeel, die hoewel in het bezit van letter en besnijdenis een overtreder van de wet zijt. Want niet hij is een Jood die het uiterlijk is, en niet dat is besnijdenis wat uiterlijk aan het vlees geschiet, maar hij is een Jood die het in het verborgen is. En de ware besnijdenis is die van het hart, naar de geest, naar de letter. Dan komt zijn lof niet van mensen, maar van God. Luisteraars, ik dank u dat u hebt meegelezen en of u hebt geluisterd. Ik heb gelezen met u zo tezamen Romeinen hoofdstuk 2, het oordeel Gods over de Joden. Begin bij 1 en vers 12, de wet baat de Joden niet. En vers 25, de besnijdenis baat de Joden niet. Dan wil ik u groeten en wil ik u bedanken met broeder Cor en zuster Marlene tezamen. En ik zou zeggen, lieve luisteraars, geliefde in Christus, als God voor ons is, wie zal dan tegen ons zijn? Ik groet u en de Heere zegene u allen rijkelijk. In Jezus' wonderbare naam. Amen.
Ja, mijn zuster Emma, dank u wel ook vannacht. Een fijne lessentijd. Goedenacht, rust en zo de heer het leed tot morgen.
Dank u wel, moeder Cor.
Dag, Susanna.
Nogmaals, God de rijk gezegen.
Dank u wel.
En de koetjes aan zuster Marlene.
Zal ik doen.
Ja, dag, moeder Cor.
Dag, Susanna. Aflevering van Pastor Samuel Lee van GCF Ministry met het woord in het Engels. Heeft u zegen bij het luisteren.
Thank you God. What a beautiful and emotional day are this for me. Thank you God. Brothers and sisters, I have a very, very special message for you. I prepared this message because God revealed it to me in my spirit, in my heart. And I'm sure that those who are here today, it's the will of God for you to hear this message. You are not here by chance, neither you are by accident. You are here because God wanted you to be here today. Amen. The message of my life today starts with a question. And my question today is this. What controls our lives? What controls our lives? What drives our lives? Why do we do things that we do? Why do you do things that you normally do? What is the motivation behind our lives? What is the force behind your actions? Because everyone has an action in his life. We do things. But we have to ask ourselves, why do we things that we are doing? And that's exactly what is my message today. Right now, I feel that some of you are being controlled by a problem. Maybe there is a problem that is controlling your life. Maybe you are being controlled by a painful memory in your life. Maybe a painful memory that happened to you in the past is still controlling your actions in life. Maybe some of you are going through difficulties today, and those difficulties are controlling your actions in life. Or sometimes maybe you are being controlled by enjoyments and the ideas of being happy and successful. But every one of us today is controlled by something. And every one of us today, our actions is motivated by something. And today I'm not going to deal with all of those forces that control a human's life, but only five of them I'm going to share with you, plus one extra, six. Let me start with the first one. Many people, my brothers and sisters, their life is being controlled by guilt. Write it down. Their life is being controlled by guilt. Our actions are being controlled by guilt. Feeling guilty all the time. Are we listening? I'm not preaching today, I'm teaching. Many of us today are hiding ourselves behind the regrets and the shame of the past. And because of that, the things that we do is built upon guilt and feeling guilty. Maybe from outside, we look good and great, but the actions that we take is based upon guilt. Sometimes we like to be kind to people, not because we like them, but because we feel guilty if we are not kind to them. Are we listening today? Many people feel, are driven, are moved, motivated by guilt. People who feel guilty in their lives are easily manipulated. That is why if you are feeling guilty in your religious life, you are being easily manipulated by religious people who can manipulate you. Are we listening today? Many people who feel guilty in their lives are easily manipulated. Some people, they are manipulated to give money, not because they love God, but because they feel guilty if they don't give. Are we listening today? They feel guilty, they don't give. They don't give it out of their heart. They don't give it out of their love to God. They give it because if they don't give it, they're going to feel guilty. So therefore, they are easily being manipulated by so-called men of God and their consciousness so that they will give. But when they give out of guilt, not out of love. Hello? Are we listening today? But that's exactly in our relationships too. Sometimes we are kind to people, not because we love them. We are kind because we feel guilty if we are not kind. We need to pass over that. Because you are who you are, and you are made in the image of God. And when you do something, don't do it based on guilt, but do it based on your motivations and what you really believe in your heart. Are we listening today? Praise the Lord. Really, today, a lot of people are living by guilt. I never forget that I was in a conference somewhere in a country. A very wonderful lady, old lady, I think she was about 65, even 70 years old. She came to me crying and weeping. She says, Pastor, I have going around with this guilt in my heart all my life. And I have never confessed it to anybody. But today I want to confess it to you. I said, what is that guilt? He says, when I was a young woman and I was just married, I committed adultery with my brother-in-law. And after that, I felt guilty in my life until Jesus Christ came to my life. And Jesus Christ changed my life. And I realized that I am a sinner. But until today, I feel guilty because of what has happened in my life. But your message today changed my life because I got an open eyes to see that. My brothers and sisters, so many things can happen in your past. So many things you have been done in your past, or I have done in my past. But when I am in Jesus Christ, He gives me a new identity. He washes away my sins. And He will never let me to feel guilty anymore. Why? Because Jesus Christ has paid the price for my sins and your sins. Many people feel guilty. And because of guilt, they are manipulated. And they are also manipulating other people because they feel guilty. When Cain sinned and killed his brother, his life was motivated by feeling guilty. That is why he was always wandering. He could never stay in one place. He was always running away because this guilt inside of him, the blood of his brother calling him, make him guilty and feeling guilty. But when you are in Jesus Christ, don't choose for guilt and don't do things because of guilt. But do it because you are motivated to do something. Do it because God is with you. Do it because you trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So one of the things that really controls our life is guilt. Even as a pastor, I myself sometimes have gone through that guilt feeling. Sometimes your physical body can be very tired, isn't it? Because I am not a robot. We are not a robot. As a pastor, we are not robots. We also have feelings and emotions, isn't it? And sometimes you don't really feel. Your body is really tired and someone needs your help and you cannot help. And then you feel guilty because you couldn't help. But God does not look at your actions. God looks at your heart. God knows what you are doing. God knows you through and through what you go through in your life. That is why when I was a young pastor and even until 10 years ago, I used to feel guilty. But now, I don't feel guilty because I can only do what I can do for you. The rest is God. The rest God can do it for you. The rest God can help you. I am not God and I cannot solve the problems of the entire world. And you cannot also solve the problem of your entire world. You cannot solve the problem of your family. Some of you are feeling guilty because your family member or your loved one is suffering. But you can't do anything about it. That is a good feeling because you feel responsible. But at the end of the story, brothers and sisters, everyone has his own cross to carry. Everyone must live his own life. No one else can breathe a breath for you. You have to breathe the breath in and out. You have to go through life. Are you listening to me? So don't let anyone to put guilt and accusation in your heart. Do it out of love. Never do anything out of guilt. Hallelujah. Are we listening today? Praise the Lord. The second thing that really controls our life, many people's life, at least in this world, is anger. Many people are driven by anger. They are moved by anger. People do things or make decisions based on anger. My brothers and sisters, when you are angry, don't make decisions. Because most of the time, those decisions you make is built upon your emotion and anger. That is why the Dutch have a wonderful saying. They say, count until 10 before you say something. Hallelujah. Many people's actions are driven because of anger. They are angry about something. They are angry about somebody.
They are angry about something that has happened in the past. And everything that they do is built upon that anger in order to punish someone else. Are we listening today? You have been angry to your wife after she did something maybe 1 month ago or 2 months ago. You have been still angry to your wife. You have not told to your wife. You have not spoken to your wife. And then your reaction is, you do things in order to punish that woman. That's wrong. That's wrong. Your actions should not be motivated by anger. Or you're angry to your husband because he did something you didn't like. Continuously every week, you give her food, him food, with no salt. Then if he complains why the food has no salt, you say it's not good for your health. But it's actually, you are lying. You are not. It's not because it's not good for his health, because you're angry to him. You want him to suffer. So sometimes we hide ourselves behind so-called good motivations, but deep inside us, we are punishing somebody because we are angry. Are we listening today? I feel like preaching today. Many people, they do things because of anger. Some people, they hold the anger inside of them. We call them introvert people. They look very calm from outside. They look like a very calm ocean from outside. When you look, you don't see any water movement. Everything is flat. But within the ocean, many things is going on. Boiling, burning. That's also not good. Bring out your heart. Bring out your feelings. Solve it between yourself and God. Do not make actions based on your anger, because it's gonna destroy your life. Are we listening to today? Some people are very angry because many, many years ago, somebody did something to them, and they never forget them. The book of Job, chapter 5, verse 2 says that anger kills you at the end. I was reading a report that many people today in this society, I don't know exactly how many percentage, are angry to each other. They are not talking to each other in this society, in the Netherlands. Fathers don't talk to their children. Children don't talk to their fathers. Why? Because many years ago, something happened. They still didn't solve the problem. And they built their action, life, everything upon that anger. But if you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. Give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Don't let your life be motivated by anger. Are we listening today? Who motivates your life? Is your life motivated by feeling guilty? Is your life motivated by anger? You have to change it. If you think like that, you have to change it. Because anger is not going to kill the person about whom you are angry. Anger will first kill you. And anger will destroy your body, will increase your high blood, will attack your heart, will attack your mind, will attack your actions. Are you listening to me today? Don't live in anger. Husband and wife, when you are angry to each other, make sure before the evening finish, finalize the matter. It's very, very important. I'm married 25 years. In my 25 years marriage, coffee is my answer. I told you this before in my preaching. Coffee. You know coffee? They're drinking coffee. If we have an argument with my wife, coffee. After 1 hour, one of us will say, do you like coffee? If someone say, do you like coffee? The world is changed. The stars are shining. The flowers are blooming. The smell of beautiful perfumes are coming. Why? Because one of us said, do you like coffee? That means all anger, all argumentation is finished with one coffee. Nescafe. Finalize the matter. Yeah. Not talking, not angry. You are angry to your wife. You drive fast the car, and then later you damage your car, and then you are crying. Then you say, Pastor, pray for me insurance. But you are angry, that's why. Control your anger. Praise the Lord. And don't be driven by anger. Don't be moved by anger. Hallelujah. Let's go further. Many of us today are being controlled by fear. Our actions are being controlled by fear. 1 John chapter 4 verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Are you listening today? Many people today are controlled by fear. Fear paralyzes you and me. Fear of people. God said, why do you afraid of people? People are nothing. Don't fear people, fear God. Sometimes people fear people. Sometimes people fear their wives. Sometimes people fear their husbands. Sometimes people fear things. Sometimes people fear bad ideas in their mind. Fearing. What if this happens? What if that happens? It happens to every one of us, especially when you are approaching the year 40, 45, you are starting to begin to think about life. You start to think, hey, I'm getting old, my age is going high, what if something happens? What if my family member dies? What if my uncle dies? What if my father dies? What if my mother dies? What if this happens, my children are growing? All kind of things comes to your mind. Fear comes into your heart. You are thinking, meditating about those things. Faith is the opposite of fear. Fear is faith in Satan. Faith is faith in God. Are we listening today? Many of us are controlled by fear. We are afraid. We fear. But God will give you strength to surpass your fears in life. Amen? So don't fear, because God is with you. The Bible says, if God is with you, who can be against you? Do not fear. Our actions is built on fear. Now I'm going to tell you something that is really going to shock you today. Sometimes, can I talk to you honestly today? Sometimes we love people out of fear. We don't love them because we love them. We love them because we fear that if we don't love them, something is going to happen. Argumentation will come, angry will come, fight will come, misunderstanding will come. So you force yourself to love that person. Are you listening to me? Or sometimes we fear, and because of fear of rejection, that if I don't love somebody, if I don't love people, if I don't satisfy people, they are not going to love me. And because of that, we are always saying yes to people, yes to people, yes to people. We can never say no to them. The day you can say yes, no in your life, that is the day you have become a matured person. Are we listening? A good relationship is never been run by fear. A good decision is never been run by fear. Sometimes we want to be accepted by others. That is why we want to say yes to everybody, even to the extent that it can destroy our own life. Are we listening today? That is a false love. A real love loves really. And there is nothing behind that. So many people today, they are controlled by fear. They are fearing that they are not good enough. That is why they cannot apply for the job that they really like, because they think that they are not good. Who am I? I'm just a migrant. My name is a migrant name. My color of the skin is different. They fear. They put all kind of fear in their lives, and they have missed so many jobs that they could apply to get. Are we listening today? Fearing that I am less, fearing that I am not important enough, fearing that I'm not intelligent enough. Hello, my friend. You have to change. I have to change the motivation of my life. I have to choose not to fear, to choose to do things because they are right, not to do things because I fear to do it. That I will explain to you in the end. Think about your actions today. Why are you doing things? Are you doing it out of fear? Or are you doing it out of love? Are you doing it because you want to be accepted? Or are you doing it because you don't want to fail? Why do you do that? Test yourself. Check your hearts. It's very, very important. Let's go further. Number four. Many people today are controlled by materialism. Many people today are controlled by materialism. What do I mean? Money, wealth. Many people. There is a misconception of having more makes us more happy. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It is not true that if you have more and more, it's going to make you happy. If you have enough, it's okay. But if you have more and more, you are not going to be happy. Happiness does not come from having more and more. Happiness comes when you are at peace with God. When God's peace is in your heart and you are satisfied with who you are with God. Wealth and materialism will never give you happiness. They will make things easy for you for a while. But in this world today, nobody who has a lot of wealth can be fully happy. Even you have all the money of the world in your accounts. If God forbid a sickness touch you that there is no cure for it, all the money is gone. You can have the best hospitals, but you are not healed. You can have the best beds to sleep upon, but you cannot sleep. You can drive a wonderful car, but now you can't drive it anymore. Are you listening to me? Many people, many of today, our actions are built upon accumulating wealth because we think that, listen to me, we think that our value is about how much we have and how much we own. But we forget that our value is not in how much we have and in how much we own. Our value is that God loves us so much. The priceless price that he paid on the cross in Calvary. That no money, no wealth, no US dollar, no euro, no naira, no peso, no pound can buy it. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice on that cross. That you are so loved that he died for you and me. That is our value, my friend. Our value is not built upon the amounts of money we have. That is why sometimes when you are in these worldly meetings, they always come and ask you, how much is your value and assets? You see, how much do you make for money? The other day I was talking with somebody asking me, so you are the president of a university? I said, yes. He said, then that means you have a lot of money. And I look at him and I said, let me tell you something. I have so much money, so much that you cannot even imagine it is not fitting in the account. So much money I have, actually. And the man, he looked at me like this, he straightened himself. He said, are you sure? I said, yes. Anything I can help you? Because what I do and what you do for the kingdom of God is not calculatable with US dollar or euros. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. When a refugee man who is a refugee who has been messed up, destroyed in the refugee camp, he doesn't know where to go, what to do. He has no hope, no future. Everything has been taken away from him. He comes to our university. He begins to study. Dignity comes back to him. Belief comes back to him. Faith comes back to him. And after 2 years, he's totally a different person. That is richness. That is wealth. That nobody can buy it. Hallelujah. Praise God. There is this misconception because the more I have, and that is what we teach to our people, our children. And we say, son, you're going to study good. And when you study good, you're going to make a lot of. And when you get a lot of money, you're going to buy a lot of. That's wrong. Son, you're going to study good. And you're going to have a lot of money. And when you have a lot of money, you're going to do good things with it. You're going to bless your community. You're going to bless your people. You're going to bless your family. You're going to bless your country. You're going to bless the kingdom of God. That is what we have to teach to our children. Not that you're going to get money so that you're going to buy this and you're going to buy that and you're going to buy that. Hallelujah. Woo! Many people are controlled by materialism. My brothers and sisters, possessions make us temporarily happy. Possession will not make you happy for good. Possession makes you only temporarily happy. You can buy something, you can be happy with it for 1 week or 2 weeks. After that, it becomes normal. You understand? Your value, your values, valuables, do not determine your value. Your value is determined in the fact that you are loved by God. Hallelujah. Let's go further. Many people, number five, many people are controlled by approval. Approval. Many people are controlled by approval. That is why Facebook exists today. Because Facebook knows the secret of human psychology. Because we human beings, we like to be approved. We like the likes on our Facebooks. Some people can even get depressed when nobody likes their messages. Some people even feel suicidal that nobody likes their messages. You see? And I wonder how many people who put really like on your message and my message, they really read our messages. They just put the like on it. Some read, some they don't. Many people today, their lives are driven by approval. I want to be approved by people. I want to be approved, acknowledged by people. That is why I'm able to do everything I want to do just if they acknowledge me, just if they praise me, just if they sugarcoat me. But that is destroy your life. Life like that is terrible. I need your approval. It's wonderful. But if you don't approve me, that's also fine. Isn't it? Because you are not going to live life for me. You are not going to, you know, sometimes my wife and I, we are talking, discussing a lot of things. And then sometimes I'm saying, yeah, but what if people come and tell me this? Say, yeah, Pastor, what if you do it this way? My wife used to say to me, that you tell them, why don't you become the pastor? It's easier. Then I'm resigning, you become the pastor. Because you can never stay in my shoes. I can never stay in your shoes. You are you, I am me. Your life is your life, my life is my life. If you approve me, I am happy with it. But if you disapprove me, life must go on, show must go on. If people like you or not, show must go on. You still need to breathe. You still need to eat. You still need to move forward. You still need to mother your children. You still need to father your children. Life must go on. Others will not come to mother your children. Others will not come to father your children. When you go through difficulties and hardship, those people who criticize you will not come and say, hey, let me give you a helping hand. So why are you moving around pleasing them? I don't say be rude to people. What I'm saying is, think in your heart, are you doing things because you want to be approved and acknowledged? Or are you doing things because you are motivated to do that? Let me tell you something. That is why Apostle Paul said, if I speak in tongues of angels, if I give all my money to the poor, if I throw my body in fire for the poor people, if I have no love, I am nothing. What does it mean? It means that some people, they do these things to get approval and acknowledgement. They don't do it because they love. They do it because they want to get the prize. They do it because they want to get a Nobel Prize. They do it, they are not doing it for what they believe. They do it for acknowledgement. From outside, they do good things. But God does not look at the outside of people. God looks at the motivation of people. Hallelujah. I miss a clap offering for Jesus. Are you controlled by approval of people? People who come to you and tell you, I rather have a friend who come and slap to my face, not really slap, but you know, to tell me the truth, than someone who always say yes, 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 and hugs me and loves me, and then tomorrow goes and gossip behind you, tell bad things about you, you know. Which one do you like? Approval? Let me tell you something, my friend. In this world, you can never satisfy everybody. I have learned that in my 21 years ministry. You can never satisfy anybody. I can never satisfy everybody in this church also. You can never satisfy anybody. Some people will be satisfied. Some people will not be satisfied. The most important question in life is, what is your motivation in heart? Are you loving? Are you giving? Are you loving people because you want to be appraised? Are you giving because you want to be appraised? Or are you giving because you have to? Because you love. You care. That is why Jesus said, what you do, let your right hand, what your right hand do, don't let your left hand know. Praise the Lord. I'm going to finish soon. So there are five things. There are actually more things. There are jealousy and all this, but I'm not going to share all of them with you. Guilt, anger, fear, materialism, approval. But there is one perfect way, and that is when we are controlled by the love of God. That when we do things out of the love of God, when we choose things from the love of God, that our actions are based upon the love of God and upon the justice of God. I'm going to finish with an example on the justice of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6 to 7 says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying of our hands. For God gave us a spirit not to fear, but of power and love and self-control. Brothers and sisters, are you doing things because of those things that I mentioned? Or are you doing things because they are just and they are fair? And I want to close this with this example. Then we're going to pray. We're going to share our hearts. Imagine you are working at a company. You are working at a company. And in your company, there is a lot of competition, isn't it? People want position. People want to go higher. You are working in that company, okay? And then in the middle of the night, your boss calls you and says, I need you to come to the office. Because if you don't come to the office, our company is going to bankrupt. We are having a serious problem. Now, you decide to go and help the company. Or someone decides to go and help the company. The first one who wants to go and help the company, he thinks that, hey, there is a lot of competition in my company. So if I go there and help my company, my boss will be happy with me so that I will get increase and position in my job. So it is better for me to go. So he goes. And then the president of the company thanks him. Thank you, you come. Oh, you saved our company. But the president of the company doesn't know his heart's motivation, why that man went there. He didn't went there really to help that president. He went there so that he can compete with his colleagues to get a better job tomorrow. Are you listening? Or another example, the man calls. Hello, the man calls. He says you have to come in the midnight to help the company. But one man, he didn't choose to go, even though he likes to go. He wants to go because he wants to help his boss. But out of fear for his wife, he don't go. He starts to calculate, if I go, then my wife is going to be angry to me. So I choose not to go. And then what happens? That company collapses. Another man who goes there, not because he wants to save the company, but he wants to be approved by his boss. He goes there. From outside, the action is wonderful. Because you go to help. But from inside, only God knows. But there is another choice that someone made. That someone said, no, I am going to that company to help. You know why? Because our company is in danger. Even though my wife will be angry, but if I don't go to that company, 5 people are going to lose their jobs. Because of that, I am going to help that company. That is a just action and a rightful action. You don't choose your action because you are afraid of your wife. You don't choose your action because you want to compete with your colleagues. You don't choose your action because you want your boss to approve you. No, you choose God's way. That if I don't go work there tonight, my company will collapse. 5 people with 5 families are going to lose their jobs. I am going there to do Jesus' thing. And that is what God asks you to do, my friend. Let us stand up on our feet. Praise God. Today, we want to